Beyond the Beauty is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Bobby Brown.
I first saw the makeup brand Kosas a bunch of years ago, and it looked so much like a traditional brand, but it was one of the first brands that was clean and looked like a regular brand that you would see in all the department stores. I tried it and the makeup worked. So I'm really curious and interested in how the brand was built. And, you know, I want to talk to the founder, Sheena Yatanis. I was pretty intrigued by not just that she's someone that loves beauty, that grew up watching her mom, but she was super smart, had a science background, got her master's in business, was also an actress. But here is this girl who has a beauty brand. So I'm very curious to find out, who is Sheena Yatanis? Hey, Sheena.
Hi, Bobby. So nice to meet you.
It's really nice to meet you too. You have some incredibly interesting bio, which I can't wait to dive into.
Let's dive into it.
Yeah, but I remember the first time I saw the brand, I was still working at the old company, and you were, you know, you guys had just come out, and I just thought, how fascinating. Like, it was so new and different because there was nothing in the clean world that resembled like a real makeup product. So tell me about the launch.
Thank you, Bob. And thank you for knowing and noticing that, like, was like, that was like a big revolution and jump, I think, for clean. But of course, like at the time that Kosas launched, there was no such term as clean. It wasn't even a thing yet.
Well, there were some things that people were making in their kitchen and, you know, granola, kind of hippie stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. We had like natural and organic and like a sense of like understanding that maybe there were some ingredients in conventional that people didn't want to use. There was like definitely a rise of like, oh, should we be questioning these ingredients? That was starting to happen. And then I love where we've landed now and like and I love the evolution of where things are going. Cause I think there was like that big pendulum swing to natural and organic. And that was tough for people who are obsessed with makeup and wearing it. And so now I love that we've kind of come back around to thoughtful and purposeful.
Right. Well, let's go back for a second, because you grew up, your mother worked in cosmetics. She was in retail.
She worked at the mall.
Okay.
My mother worked at the mall. She worked at, before I was even born, she worked at Clarins. And then when I was growing up, she worked at Clinique. And I don't know if you, I'm going to go ahead and guess you've never worked at the mall, but
I actually sold shoes in high school at the mall. Yes.
You did. I did. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a rite of passage, right? So because my mom worked at Clinique, and she actually really loved that. She still speaks fondly of like how fun it was. Cause of course you work at shopping, like how fun is that? And her friends would be, you know, like the girl from the Lancome counter, or like, you know, someone from Chanel, and then Estee Lauder. And that's how I got to know these brands, was through the people who were my mom's friends who repped the brands. And you really start to understand like a very early sense of like, what does DNA mean? What's identity? And like, what's the difference between these things? And so much of that just came through like the textures, the smells, the names, and they all had a little personality of their own. So I got my beauty education on the ground.
And you must have played with your mom's makeup when you were a kid.
It's all I played with.
Yeah.
So like, I was a very quiet child. I spent a lot of time in my mom's bathroom or in my room by myself. I've always been drawn to materials because like I have a compulsion to make things. And what greater material or medium than makeup? I mean, I had so much of it and so much access to it. It's like going to the art store, like going into her bathroom and going through her drawers was just like going to the art store.
And you used to make your own makeup when you were a little kid. Is that correct?
Yes. I made my own makeup. I started making my own makeup when I was probably like 10. I would, at that time, you know, you buy those little Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like pill cases, and the jar of Vaseline and the eyeshadow and then crush it all up and mix it all together. And like I would make, I actually made some early stuff that I'm coming back around to, like the idea of like glitter gel highlighter. That's a big one. So I would make, I would mix makeup. I would mix skincare too. And nail polish, because I was like very, I love the lacquery, like enamel-y texture of nail polish. I think it's such a gorgeous material, and mixing the colors was like a fun early thing for me.
So you were very creative as a kid and did all these really cool things. You grew up, you know, with your mom's makeup, but you were a smarty pants and you ended up studying biology science at UCI.
Yeah, I did. My, I mean, here's the thing. My parents are immigrants. They moved here in, they moved to America from Iran in the 70s when they were in college. They were supposed to come here to do an exchange program. And at the time, like the relationship between Iran and the United States was good. And so things were okay. And they came here. They didn't speak English. They moved to Texas and they went to college. And while they were here, a war started back in their home country. And they basically became stateless. Like they couldn't go back to their war-torn country. They didn't really belong here at all. You know, they started to face the realities of what it means to be an other here in the US. They were, you know, and then they tried to make the best of it, which is to make a better life for their kids. And they both have like such a deep artistic nature. I watched my mom grow up. She has such an amazing sense of color. I like everything I learned about mixing colors came from her. Like the emotional response that you get from putting pink next to orange, like that's something she taught me when I was a kid. And so these were the things that moved her. And yet she was filled with such a fear of ever pursuing anything creative in her entire life because she was foreign. And that takes guts and it takes showing your heart and it takes so much confidence and courage, which she did not have. So I watched this as I grew up with my parents not speaking English. And that like affects the dynamic of the parent-child relationship because in a lot of ways, like they can't guide you. You have to guide them. And then yes, my nature was artistic from day one. Like these are the things that I was obsessed with and wanted to spend my life doing. But I also had to carry some of that fear too. They were afraid for me, which actually like just made me afraid too. And so the last thing your parents want you to do when they feel that way is to do anything risky, like become an artist. Mm-hmm. That's insane. So I pursued science, which I actually find to be a very creative discipline anyway, because you are in uncharted territory most of the time. You're trying to discover. And so that part of it, I really did love. And I still love. And I never thought it would become useful to me, but turns out it has.
Well, if someone would have told me that in high school, maybe I would have gotten better than D's in science because there was nothing creative about my science teacher. So besides this brainiac creative girl, you happen to be beautiful. You acted.
I acted for 30 seconds and I did not like it.
Okay, but more than 30 seconds. You were in House and you were also season one of MasterChef, so you cook.
I do.
Come
cook.
On.
I love cooking.
Yeah.
I love cooking. It's that whole like compulsively making things with your hands thing. Wow. There's a theme here.
Yeah. No. It's quite something else. And then you also started a makeup company. You started with 8 lipsticks.
I started with 4 lipsticks.
4. All right. I started with 10. You started with 4.
Yeah.
And how did you, like, so how did that happen?
I still think about this a lot, actually, because my love is with color. My love is with color and form. And I have what feels like a lot of concentrated creative energy that like needs to come out somehow. And that can come out through a lot of different things. And there was a period of time where I wanted to really like more formally learn the principles of art. And so I started working with an art teacher, and this was right before I started COSAS. And she was teaching me color theory. Like, we were really understanding, and we were working on portraiture because, like, I think I'm just so fascinated by, and like, I get a lot of pleasure from the female form in humans in art. Like, that's my, that's something I love. I'm less drawn to landscapes, more drawn to humans.
So you could paint, women. You paint people and faces.
I paint, I do not paint well. Uh-huh. So like, let's not, okay. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I love it, but I'm not good at it. And like, it's like the same thing with the piano for me. Like, I love it, but I'm like not good, you know, and that's okay. So I learned, but I did start to learn painting and I learned color. And it was in that process of like, when I was learning how to mix earth tones and skin tones, which I had like absolutely no idea what the anatomy of these were. It was, it's so fun. But when I was doing it, like I was ending up with these piles of skin toned paint and they were so gorgeous and so alive. And I was like, that's makeup that I want to wear. Like, those are the colors that I want to wear that I feel like are going to bring to life my whole face. And that's what I've been looking for. And yet, like, every time I try to find a color like that, why is it that when I put it on, I end up looking worse? And I know that this is a podcast, so other people can't see me, but you can. I'm so green. My skin tone is really, really olive. And so it's like a, it's a hard to mix with situation. And there aren't a lot of products out there that like kind of cater to this tone family. And so those piles of paint to me, like I felt seen by them because I was like, if I put those on, I am going to look good. That's going to be great. And then those drove what those first four lipstick colors were.
Okay. Everyone wants a makeup line now, but the question is, where does someone begin that doesn't know anything? You know, how did you find a chemist? How did you find the packaging?
Great question. I was in the makeup chair on, I think it was House. It was, or my 30 seconds of acting. See, I knew it's always like, it's like Slumdog Millionaire in this life. Everything has a reason. Yeah. So it was in that 30 seconds of acting. I was in the makeup chair. I was talking to the makeup artist and I told her about like, I want to have a makeup. And at that time, by the way, there weren't as many people saying that they wanted to have a beauty brand. Beauty was a place that fashion people were escaping to because it was like a way more laid back business. Like they were like, fashion's too intense. It's too aggro. Like, let's go to beauty. And so I thought it was like relatively chill and laid back as an industry then. And I asked her and I told her about it. And she said, oh, I have a few friends who've like made some products and, you know, here's the name of somebody. I had tried the Google thing. I reached out to many chemists. Not one of them wrote me back. And then she gave me this name and this one person wrote me back and that started everything.
Wow. So how did you sell the first four lipsticks?
So I made a website and I actually don't think like Shopify was even around then. There was something different. I had to actually like make a custom website and it had four products on it. You know, it was these four lipsticks. It was a single page.
Did you do that yourself or did you have to ask someone to do it?
I had to ask somebody.
Yeah. Okay.
So I had I went to this guy's garage and he made me a website with one page and I designed it by drawing it on a piece of paper. People are so sophisticated now, aren't they? They're like, have all these branding decks and like this whole thing. And I was just like, here's my website. I put some squares on there. I was like, put the face here, the button here. And that was kind of it. And it was a single page. And then like one day I turned it on. And that day was the day I received the lipsticks. Like it wasn't this like grand master plan. It was just like, I was so scared to even own this many lipsticks.
How many did you order? Do you remember? How many was your first order?
The minimum order quantity.
Which was?
The MOQ, which was 1,000 pieces per shade. So I had 4,000 lipsticks in my house. And I was like, what does 4,000 lipsticks seriously even look like? Like, I was like, can you give me like, is it like going to fill up one room? What's it going to look like? Anyway, it was actually not that big. I was surprised. I put them in the den in my house in these little piles. And then that was it. I turned on the website and I posted about it on Instagram to my 500 friends and family that followed me. And people started placing little orders. It was so, I remember how long it took for me to make the first $1,000.
You know, I love hearing this story because so many people, you're right, they make the decks, they get the investments, they do all of this. And I have people calling me all the time. How do I get these to influencer? How do I get press? And I'm like, you need the product. You need, like, if you don't have a product that you think is better than what's out there, you don't have a company. You can't do it the other way around. So yeah. Honestly, anyone that's listening, I don't care if you want to make bras or granola, this is how you start a business and this is how you become an entrepreneur. And by the way, I don't know how long from the time that you did those four lipsticks to when people started hearing about you, but in I know that you were the number one indie brand of the year in 2019. Like, that's huge.
That was 4 years later.
Yeah, that was four years later.
Yeah, it took time.
There's so many COSA questions because it's become such a giant brand. How many employees do you have right now?
We have 40. Okay. Thank you for thinking we're a giant brand. We're a teeny tiny brand, but I'm glad that it looks that way. But yeah, we have a team of 40.
Okay. In the indie world, you're a giant brand.
Okay. I'll take that. In my small pond, I'm a big fish.
Yes. Yes. And what keeps you up at night?
Oh my God, Bobby. When is the last time I slept? Everything, every little thing. I would say, I mean, I think what's very... There are a few things. One is I'm a person, like I'm a human being with a heart and a soul and bones. And I'm just I'm just as vulnerable as anybody else. Cause we all are. And so I think the like giving up of my personhood in some way, or like not having the sensitivity towards like who I am as a person. I know that's a super abstract and vague, beyond vague thing to say, but I think that sometimes does, because like it ultimately comes down to this like feeling of being misunderstood sometimes or like misrepresented. And that's, that can hurt because, I think that we have a drive to be seen by those we love as what we believe we are. And when you end up doing something a little bit more public, then, you know, you're being seen by a lot of people who don't love you as well. So like there's a huge amount of misrepresentation that can happen. And that sometimes keeps me up at night.
I mean, don't you think that social has been a big like reason how your business grew so fast?
Absolutely. It's been a big reason. I think that's because like of the time that the business started in. Like if we were in a different time and social didn't exist, then it would have grown fast in another way. Because like I do believe like I'm here to do this regardless, and I'm fitting into the time frame that I've been planted here in. So yes, it is because of social right now, to some extent. But I think it's like it's just like one layer deeper. It's like because of the love of doing it.
So I mean, your business has grown so much. What are you hoping? What are you hoping for the business? And then I want to just dive into some of your special, amazing formulas and products. So what are you hoping for the business?
I think our business has grown definitely, but it's really just like at the very beginning stage. It's so early. And I haven't even like scratched the surface on like some of the things that I want to do, which all really have to do with storytelling and product. And because like those are the two places where my heart is. There's, you know, I want to be able to, I can't wait to be able to like actually like touch people again and be able to like have that conversation with other women about how they feel about their appearance, and like what COSAS can do and what kind of support we can bring into like from a product perspective, and have that like really like what I'm always looking for, which is that feeling of like, finally, you know, like finally I've been looking for a lip color that looks like this. Finally, like I, you know, I've been wanting to be able to like get this like polished skin look and I never have been able to. And, you know, like thanks for making this. And finally, like I feel like I love doing this ritual every day and like, you know, really enjoy it. And it doesn't feel like a routine or a chore.
Well, your tinted oil has been a runaway success. You know, I think that was a very unique formula that I think really, you know, hit a nerve. So how did you think of that? Because there's not a lot of tinted oils on the market.
No, there aren't. I mean, for me, it was like, I liked to use oils and I like the look of a foundation. Like I like the look of a little bit of complexion product. I think it makes me feel like I look dressed. I don't like a lot. And it's like very specific what I'm looking for. Like I want a little bit of my skin to show through, but only the parts of my skin that I love. And then I want the rest of it to all look really even. And I want to address my redness. I don't want something that's going to settle into my pores. And most importantly, I want it to look better and better throughout the day, which I've, you know, have had a hard time experiencing as a person who wears foundation. And I want to be able to wear it every day, frankly, too. I don't want to save it for special occasions, which is how I was feeling. I want to be able to get up and put on my favorite face every day quickly, but I want it to look awesome. And that's really how that product came to be. It was like, how do I fulfill all those needs? Which is usually where I start. I'm like, I'm looking for something that makes me feel like this. So like, what would be the ingredient profile of that? And the ingredient profile turned out to be something that I like tremendously love, which are oils. And then I ended up putting pigment inside the oils. And then I was like, what is this? Like, this is like pigment in the oil. It's face oil and it's tinted. So it's tinted face oil. And that's like how it was named.
And you have a new serum deodorant?
Yes.
I never, ever thought of putting those two words together. So could you tell us what it is and how you thought of that?
Totally. So similarly to the Fit Foundation thing, like I had this issue, which was that I have very strong BO and smells terrible and ripe and insane. And I wanted to like not have BO. I mean, it was really like, it's really actually that simple. I wanted to not have BO. I had started to hear about, like, I've been looking for things all over the place. Like I had tried baking soda on my armpits, burned my armpits and turned them black. I was like, okay, maybe if you do like a few drops of lemon juice and like some tea tree oil, like that will be the thing that, you know, is like so antimicrobial that you won't have BO. None of those things worked. I've tried several different kinds of things, fennel oil. I then like caught wind of people putting AHA toners on their armpits. And this was like changing the game for their BO. So I started doing it too. And I was like, wait, what? There was this first day that I did it. And I was like, I smelled my own armpit. I'm going to do it right now. I do it all the time. Now that I use my own deodorant, I'm obsessed with smelling my armpit because I know what my actual real armpit smells like. I know what my own essence smells like and I like it. I think it's pleasant when it doesn't have any BO. And that's what I started to experience. So I was like, I have to figure out how to really like, you know, make this safe and great for armpits. And that's how that was formulated. And it was a serum-y texture and therefore it's a serum deodorant.
I do want to ask you the same question I ask to everyone I have on this podcast. What does beauty mean to you?
Beauty to me is like an entire whole life lived experience. It's like a collection of things that make you love looking in the mirror, but also make you feel really good and make you feel, to me, like the favorite version of yourself. Like if I were to close my eyes and picture myself in my own perfection, which is such a thing that comes like we are all born that way. It's such a thing that comes from like all your thoughts and feelings and who you are on the inside. And I focus deeply on the things that I love about myself. What are the ways and things in my life that really support me showing up as my favorite version of myself? And that's how I see beauty.
And what's your health routine like?
My health routine is very human. And it's like totally based on doing things that make me feel like my favorite version of myself. So I like in terms of eating, I would call myself balanced. Like I love food and dinner is my favorite meal of the day by far. And I love like a full dinner and like the full ritual of it and everything. I think that's such a like heartwarming time of day for me. And then the rest of the time I eat almost the same thing all the time. And I also like, so I like eat a lot of healthy things and then I eat like cookies and candy and I drink wine because I like them. They make me feel good.
I love that. I love that. I would call it intuitive eating.
Totally intuitive eating. I very much like listen to what I want and then I have it and then I feel awesome about it. Like that's the one thing that I like to throw away, which is like any feeling of guilt.
And what do you do for fun?
I think the thing that I do the most for fun though is spending time with my friends. It's like spending time with friends, just talking. Like there's nothing more fun to me than that.
And last question, is there one product you cannot live without? Anything in the world?
My God, there's like 20. I could not live without coffee.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. But I am really, really happy to have met you and to listen to your journey. And I'm excited to be back in the clean game and be, you know, someone who, you know, could also be here for support if you ever need anything. I'm available because, you know, we're in this together. So I'm happy to meet you and I'm really proud of you and I can't wait to see what you're
doing
next.
Thank you so much, Bobby. Thank you for having me. It's really great to meet you.
Oh, my pleasure.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.